Okay, would you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 14? Psalm 14. Let's pray again. Lord, we ask you to speak to our hearts, how we praise you for your written word, and as we've expressed earlier, for our freedom to have that and to hold it in our hands, and help us, Lord, to have full benefit and blessing of that as we read it and study it. Let it wash over and through us and bring us to this transformation by the renewal of our minds, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Nabal isn't in our text. We're going to look at him, Nabal, a little bit. As a case study, Nabal, as I think probably many, if not everyone here knows, is the word for what? Fool. Fool. Nabal was the epitome of a fool. The tragic irony, he thought he was a king, but was merely a dead fool. Terrified by reality, literally and actually scared to death. You see, the fool's life unravels the moment he or she sees God. Psalm 14:1, to the choir master of David, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The fool decides in his heart that there is no God. And the fool reaps what he sows. The fool decides, this isn't accidental or incidental. This isn't someone just not knowing and wandering around in innocent ignorance. This is someone in the seat of his emotions, his intellect, his will. He decides. His creed will be, and literally in this text, it's no God. The fool says in his heart, no God. The fool has a no God creed. Several years ago when I read this, what just stood out to me was in his heart. Because we can profess a lot of things. What Isaiah and Jeremiah, the prophets, said is with Israel and their apostate state, that God would tell through his prophets, said, you draw near me with your lips, but your hearts are far away. See, we can praise God with our lips. We can talk God about this and talk God about that, but what are we saying in our hearts? And it gets real interesting as we go through this. Fools counsel themselves in their hearts. See, fools form their philosophy of life. Now, as we're going over these things, let it build because it's going to come to a very interesting crescendo. And in tonight's message, I've got, you might say, you know how they tease sometimes on radio or TV? Well, I'm going to do a tease, a surprise ending. A surprise ending that's very encouraging and very strengthening as we look at this life of a fool. But fools live by a no-God creed. Fools spoil. This word corrupt here, it means to spoil. Gerald, is there anything we could pray for with your... Okay, I just thought if it was something urgent, we could...
I thought it was.
Yeah, okay. Well, I wasn't trying to put you on the spot. I just thought we could lift if there was a... Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it says they are corrupt. Now, what this means is that corrupt, it means they spoil. So it's like... Whatever they touch with this philosophy of life, they're spoilers. They bring things to ruin. And we can see that in the world around. It's like, what's the saying that we have? They can't stand success. No, something's going. If there's goodness there, when the fool becomes involved, they corrupt it, they spoil it, they ruin it. Results but in terrible deeds and an absence of goodness. They are corrupt. What comes from that spoiling? They do abominable deeds. And I don't want to go again and again, but just, I know I mentioned this morning, and, what was that, the rage against the machine and that, but this thing with ISIS, it's everywhere. It's all over, but, to me, this Debbie had brought up the meanness in the schools. That's abominable. That's horrible. That's terrible. I mean, kids get crushed in that. Now, I don't think the kids realize what they're doing, and it's just it's like this wave. But actually, it fits our text, because what fools do is fools corroborate on their foolishness, and it multiplies the evil that comes out of it. Fools pool their resources. They pool their foolishness. And we can see this. it's so hurtful. But we have things like that. That's closer to home. But then we have these terrorists who, they just give themselves over to the darkness. And it is shocking, but it's sin. It's what Adam and Eve threw the door open to when they said that we know better than God. When they said that we know better than God, this isn't because God's not a loving God. This isn't because God's not sovereign. This is because we introduced sin into his good world. How many times did God say, he did this and it was good. He did this and it was good. He did this and it was good. He did this and it was very good. That was the world before Adam and Eve listened to the serpent and said, you know what? God's not looking out for our best interests. And that's how the fool operates. That God has no effective involvement in the fool's life, whether he be man or she be woman. The word fool, as I said, is Nabal. And you have his story in 1 Samuel 25. And I want to highlight a few things in the life of Nabal. If you want to turn to 1 Samuel 25 and go first to verse 3. We're not going to do the whole story. If you want to have some reading this week, that it'd be interesting in seeing this. But in verse 3, it says, "Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. The woman was discerning and beautiful, but the man was harsh and badly behaved." Now, what do we say? The fool decides his creed is no God. Now, with that creed of saying in his heart, no God, he spoils the things around him, and it results in terrible deeds and an absence of goodness. Well, what did it result in? In the man whose name was Fool. He was harsh and he was badly behaved. What else? Well, he was arrogant. In verse 10, David and his men had watched over his flock, cared for them, and should have been a reward coming. The man should have been very thankful and pleased. Man, he had this armed escort and got his flock, to market, or got wherever they were going. Verse 10, though, and Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is David?" He was about to find out, wasn't he? You see the darkness of the fool? The darkness of the fool, they got their realm. They only see what they see. The circle is very small for the fool. The circle of perspective is, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. I'm not giving any of my stuff to that group of hooligans. Well, he was arrogant. He was worthless. 1 Samuel 25:25. "Let not my lord regard this worthless fellow Nabon, Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him, and he was foolish. The epitome of a fool is Nabal, and he was evil. Verse 39, the last part of the verse, the Lord has returned the evil of Nabal on his own head. This no God lifestyle, that it breeds evil. It breeds horrible deeds. Maybe worst of all, Nabal thought he was a king, but he was nothing but a dead fool. If you look in verse 36, and this part is stunning. Now remember, where does the fool carry, where does the fool decide, and where does the fool carry his no God creed? In his heart. Now look at 1 Samuel 25, verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal. Okay, just brief on the story. I think all of you are probably familiar with this, but David had 400 armed men. They were going to take care of this man's arrogance. David was going to go and just wipe him out. And Abigail, she averted the disaster, and she brought the food and different things like that. Nabal's drinking beer with the boys, acting like a king. A great feast. Verse 36. Abigail, this is after Abigail diverted disaster away from the house of Nabal. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's what? Everybody got heart there? Nabal's heart was merry. Should it have been? Should his heart have been merry? Just picture that, where he was. He's a fool. He's a harsh, brutal, arrogant man, that far from the sword. Artificial.
Alcohol-induced joy.
When the wine went out, we're going to see here in just a second. But do you see, we have people, and they're so... Boy, they've got it. See, their world is so limited. Their circle is so small. And that's why I was emphasizing this morning in our Roman study, you know, as I mull these things over and trying to understand these things that God's speaking to us, he's looking on even our little vapor of a life. He puts in context to forever. See, folks, that's the blessing that we have as we allow God to speak to us. We don't have this little bitty circle of my view of life. We don't have this little dark circle of, well, this is my opinion. Well, this is what I believe. Well, this is what I believe is okay if it's what God's teaching you. But typically, that's not what we're talking about, is it? This is what I, and we got this little bitty circle. It's also one of the reasons why we can be filled with worry and anxiety and revenge. Because you cross me in my little bitty circle, I'm going to get you back. But what does God say in his great big circle, his panorama of eternity? Never take revenge. But you don't get that if you're the fool, because in your heart you live by a no-God creed. Well, he was holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king. Man, he was having a great time. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she told him nothing. So she told him nothing at all until the morning light. Verse 37, in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal. See, whatever intoxicant it is, see, the intoxicant doesn't have to be wine. It can be. Doesn't have to be beer. It can be. It can be marijuana. But you know what else it can be? It can be wealth and prosperity. It can be a very successful career. It can be, we can be intoxicated with the love of family and friends. But where are we when the intoxicant is gone? Where are we when the wine runs out? When the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things. What died? It says it in your verse there. His heart died within him. Find that very interesting. Said in his heart. I told you I've got a surprise ending. I've got some good news later on, and it's pretty cool. But I don't want to spill the beans too soon. His heart died within him, and he became as a stone. He thought he was a king. Boy, lift the cup, boys. Bring me another steak, and you have some too. Man, we're doing great. We're having a feast. I'm like a king in my little, what do they call it, the serfdom here. He thought he was a king, but he was nothing but a dead fool. The fool decides in his heart that there is no God. The tragic irony is, and he reaps what he sows. He reaps what he sows. The fool may not know who he is, but God certainly does. The fool, in his little dark circle, he might not know who he is, but believe, the Lord looks down from heaven and God knows who he is. The Lord, Yahweh, knows who he is. And folks, if you aren't right with Yahweh through Jesus Christ, then we ought to be trembling in our boots, hadn't we? Verse 2, the Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Where do we hear that in the New Testament? Writings of Paul, chapter 3, Roman study. It's quoted. Verse 4, here the psalmist is incredulous. Incredulous. Have they no knowledge? All the evildoers who eat up my people... Well, the psalmist or the Lord, I'm okay. Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. The Lord looks down from heaven and gives a very grave evaluation of humanity. And that, the bad news, is the beginning of what news? The good news. The bad news is the beginning of the good news. We have to understand there's none good. There's none who seeks God. There's none who is righteous apart from God. We're not just kind of almost there and we need a little religious help to bump us across the line and we'll be good enough. The grave evaluation. There's none good. His judgment is that everyone is turned aside. Verses 2 and 3. His judgment is that fools pool their foolishness and multiply corruption. And this is a different word for corruption. Let me find my verse. 3. They have all turned aside together. They have become corrupt. It's like one fool and another fool is multiplied foolishness. And this word for corrupt means rotten to the core. Rotten to the core. There is none who does good, not even one. The incredulity of God or the psalmist, whoever is speaking there, I'm not completely sure. Verse 4, the tragic irony of the fool. Reality means great terror because he has left God out of his life. Verse 5, there, in that place, before the judging eye, the evaluating eye of God, see, just the verse before, don't they know? Don't they understand? Have they no knowledge? Don't they get it? Verse 4, no, they don't. You know when the fool gets it? Not until he's before God. Then your heart dies. When Nabal faced the reality of his foolishness, he died. As long as he could keep things limited to his dark little circle, he's a king. It's great. Everything's wonderful. Plenty of wine, plenty of food. And that's how we can live. That's how we live. That little circle, that's not reality, is it? The tragic irony of the fool, reality means great terror because Just what a fool, his creed, no God. You see the irony in that. No God, no God, no God. So when your time in the little circle of the little dark circle of your world runs out, what do you have? Well, you live by your creed. What do you have? No God. And what do you have? Great terror. Great terror. I don't know what the... what's King James say there in verse 5, Ron? They're in great terror. Great fear. Great fear, great terror. What's NASB have there? Great dread. Not a very good place to be, is it? Again, remember, we got a surprise ending coming. Matthew, see, we got a little bit of time. Go to Matthew 6, verse 19 to 24. Verse 19, Matthew 6, 19. Actually, go to verse 21. We could start at 19. That'll be another, you can check it out later this week. Matthew 6, 21. Familiar verse, isn't it? For where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. Interesting, isn't it? Our Nabal's treasure was just everything right here. He's running the show, drinking the wine, eating plenty of food, being a jerk. Life's good, but not for very long. His treasure is in the wrong place. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. See, it's what we see with. How good is that? If it's corrupted, then even when we see light, it's darkness. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then, and that's what it's saying, the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And that's the world of the fool. That is the world of the fool. Back in Psalm, verses 6 and 7, Psalm 14, you would shame the plans of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice. Let Israel be glad. First, the fool decides in his heart that there is no God and reaps what he sows. Secondly, the fool may not know who he is, but God certainly does. And thirdly, the fool disdains the poor, but the Lord doesn't. The Lord, Yahweh here, looks on the fool in some one way. Grave, grave judgment. Great terror, great dread, great fear on the horizon of the fool. But for the poor, whether you count that the literal poor, the poor in spirit, that Jesus spoke of in the Beatitudes, but it's the person... who takes the Lord as his refuge. The person who doesn't have no God creed, but the person has the creed God. God. God is God. The fool disdains the poor, but the Lord does not. The fool in his little dark circle, in his little dark fiefdom, that was the word I was looking for a while ago, in his little dark fiefdom, He could just about be assured, can't you, that his underlings, he disdained them because he's over them. He disdained them. Had that one young man, he had to go tell Abigail. You know, he had it more together than the fool, didn't he? Abigail, look, this man, your foolish husband, he's offended. This guy's come with 400 armed men. The great dread, the great fear, but the opposite, the absolute opposite for the one who seeks refuge in God. And the hopeful statement, Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice. Let Israel be glad. The hope that is there in the eyes of the psalmist. He might see the rampages of the fool, but he knows there's hope. Conclusion. Surprise ending. Well, what can come so good out of this, the fool this, and the fool that, and the dark little circle? You're not a fool. You follow me? You've trusted in Christ. Do we still do foolish things sometimes? Oh, yeah. You do. I do. We all do. But you see, but you're not a fool. Have that show, Flip That House. I don't watch it, so I'm not sure. I think you buy it and then you get it all fixed up, right? Then you sell it, Flip That House. Okay. I think I have seen it. Well, God's flipping this house. You see, all those things that the fool's little dark circle, well, our circle's the panorama of forever. Because we're letting the God light in. Do we do that perfectly? No, we don't. As I said a little bit earlier, do we act foolish? Yes, we do. But the good news is you're not a fool. I'm not a fool. I think I can say that with quite a bit of confidence tonight. I couldn't say that maybe on a Sunday morning. More people there, I don't know as well. But if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, received his gift of eternal life, forgiveness of sins, redemption. Now God's renovating that house. Your world, to take all those things and flip them. When you see God, is there going to be great terror? Is there going to be dread? Is there going to be great fear? When you see God, somebody tell me. No. No. You're not a fool. We might think, oh, boy, sometimes we just beat ourselves up. Now, I'm not saying we should justify our sin. I'm not saying that. But your creed isn't no God. Your creed is, yes, there is a God. Our creed is God, and God is God. And when we sin, we confess our sin. We don't have to, maybe there's a group. Well, there's not maybe there is, and I knew people. I'm not going to give specifics, but, you're okay, but then if you sin, then you're out of your salvation before God. So, you better hurry up, because if you haven't confessed, they're just so confused. So confused. I sinned. I did something, and then I lost my life. Well, then I lost my son. No, you didn't lose your salvation. You're not a fool. Isn't that good news? You're looking at me like, it's one, you're a fool or you're not a fool. If you're a fool, then expect great dread, but you won't because you're a fool. But if God's work, if God is renovating the house, God's working in our lives, we may still act foolishly, but we're not fools. We said, well, God's loving. Yes, he is. God is also a consuming fire. If you're a fool, better fear the fire. Not a believer in Jesus. Not going to be God. He looks at things so differently than we do. Boy, if God could take me right now, in worship and everything's going well and my mind's all clear and pure and I haven't been mean to anybody for a couple of days and boy, God takes me now and he'll just say, welcome me into heaven. But now, boy, if I've been, haven't been, treating Carrie right and had some bad thoughts and that and God take me then, if he took my life then, is he going to receive me into heaven any differently? Am I still going to have full acceptance? Yeah. You know why? Because I'm not a fool. I was a fool. You were a fool. Believed in Jesus, you're not a fool. You don't have, you don't live by any longer a no God creed. Let's pray. Praise you again, mighty one, for your word, your truth, Jesus' name. Amen.